To Mark chapter 4, as we continue our study through the book of Mark. Today's message is entitled, The Light of the World. I try to be reminded of how important light is. Give you an example of that. There's a light right up here that when it's not working, it's hard to see sometimes up here, but man, when it's on, I can see really fine, and I appreciate Wayne climbing these high ladders and standing on the top rung just to be able to get to the light and changing out the lights. I appreciate light. Light is important, isn't it? Well, if you have your hand out there, I want to start by looking at this statement that I read this week. As it was really important. So a young boy of about 9 went with his parents to Europe one summer, and part of their tour included visits to the great old cathedrals of the past. And as he visited cathedral after cathedral, he saw the massive stained glass portraits of disciples and of other saints. He was very impressed as he stood in the great empty halls looking through the beautiful stained glass windows. Upon returning to his church, he was asked by a Sunday school teacher about the great churches of Europe and what he liked the most. And he thought for a moment, and then he said, I love the sense of awesomeness and the hugeness of who God must be. And what is a saint? His teacher asked next. His mind went back to those massive, beautiful stained glass windows and said, he said, a saint is a person the light shines through. I thought that was awesome because every person who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is called a saint in Scripture. That's what you're sanctified. You've been set apart by God. Now, you're not a saint because you always do what's right. You're not a saint because you come to some level in your religiosity, as some people believe that's what a saint is. You're a saint because God is living inside of you. He's chosen you as His temple of abode, and He wants to live inside of you and work through you. And so I just love how it says a saint is a person the light shines through. Well, we're going to look at God's Word today, beginning in verse 21 of chapter 4 of Mark. Jesus said to them, Do you bring in a lamp in and put it under a bowl or under the bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Father, I come to you, Lord, this morning again, thanking you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you're going to continue to show us yourself in your word more and more and more as we spend time with you, as we listen to you, as we hear your Spirit speak to our hearts. Father, I pray we won't shut you out, but we'll let the light in. Father, we will listen to what you have to say to us. And then, Father, we will be obedient to do what you call us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me ask you a real quick question. It's very easy. It's not a trick question. What would it be like if we had a whole day and a whole night without any light at all? Can you imagine? Not any light at all. Do you think that would cripple anything? Do you think that would stop anything? Yeah. No light. I mean, think about it. Absolutely none. Zero. Total darkness. Wow. That would be very, very hard. Yeah, I know you'd be looking for all of your flashlights and headlamps and whatever you might try, but they wouldn't work that day. Everything would be total darkness. We couldn't do anything that we normally could do. God has given us light for a reason. But not just light to be able to see with. He gave us the light of the world through Jesus Christ. It's an incredible, beautiful analogy and picture of who Jesus is himself. And so we're going to first of all look at the purpose of light. Look at what it says in verse 21. Do you bring a lamp and then put it under a bowl or under your bed? Instead, don't you put this light on its stand? So I want you to see, first of all, the placement. Jesus uses this parable to paint an important truth for us. This picture was familiar to the people of the day. Almost every family had an oil lamp that they lit in the evening so that everyone could see when it became dark. By the way, folks, I don't know, probably some of you in here actually lived in a house that didn't have electricity when you were growing up. Anybody? Yeah, a few of you. Okay. No electricity. You would think, wow, how is that possible? How did you even make it? It's called a lamp. You know? Right? So you remember the old coal lamps and the old, kerosene lanterns and all those things. Yeah, I mean, we had to have them if you wanted to be able to see at night. Otherwise, when it got dark, it was dark. Yeah, for sure. So this picture is familiar to the people of this day because if they wanted to see anything at night, they had to have a lamp. Almost every family had an oil lamp that they lit in the evening so that everyone could see when it became dark. And without it, you stumbled around. You weren't able to see anything that you needed to be able to see. There were these little notches, by the way, in most of the houses that were cut into the wall so that the lamp could then be placed there. And these notches were placed high on the wall so that the lamp could be lifted up and give more light to the people that were there. I remember when I was growing up, we had periods of time when we had no electricity in the house that we lived in. And so we had lanterns. And you might say, well, Pastor, you're really old. Well, no, we actually lived in a place where electricity was kind of spur-of-the-moment type stuff, and it came and went, and we had some problems with it. But we lived there, and that's the way it was. And when tornadoes came through, which they did on a regular basis in the area that we lived in Tornado Alley in north central Texas. And when tornadoes came through, that always knocked out the power. And we would always go down into the storm cellar. And in the storm cellar, when you close the door in the storm cellar, it's dark. I mean, you can't see anything. So we always had a kerosene lantern down there. And the first one that got down in there would light the lantern so that everybody else could see and not fall down the stairs. We would be in there as long as it took for the tornado to pass by, and we had light. And we're very grateful for it. The people of this day understood the importance of light. Now we just kind of take it for granted, don't we? Any room we walk into, if it's dark, what do? Flip on the light. No big deal. You know, and we think about what would we do without it? What would we do without that light? So Jesus makes this statement in verse 21. He says, do you bring a lamp in and then put it under a bowl or stick it under your bed? Don't you put it up on its stand? Why? Because the placement is important. Now, just a little spoiler alert for us all. If that's what we do with the light of God that lives inside of us, we don't hold it up, we don't tell people about Him, we just keep it in the darkness of our soul, what good is that going to do? It's not going to do us any good. It's not going to do anybody else any good either, is it? The placement's important. And then the picture of this, the Word of God was shared by Jesus to what? Illuminate all of those who would receive it. God was sharing the love of God with people so that they would know that He loves them so much and that the gospel was going to show them how they could have a fellowship with God. Just a reminder that Jesus is the Word of God, by the way. And all through Scripture, when you talk about the Word of God, you need to remember that when it mentions the Word of God, it's also making reference to who the Word of God is, Jesus Himself. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines even in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It's talking about Jesus Himself. Again, in John chapter 12, verse 32, And when I, Jesus said, am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. I know all of you understand this situation. If you have a porch light, how many of you have a porch light on your house? Okay, the rest of you need to get one. It's pretty cool. You can see a lot better when you're walking outside at night. Porch light. Well, what do you get later on in the evening when that porch light glowing? You get lots of little insects, don't you? They're all drawn to the light. Now, why do you think they're drawn to the light? They just like light so much? A little heat, maybe? Maybe they're a little cold at night with their little bony structures, and they want a little heat. But I'm telling you something. When we lived in Houston, Texas, and we had a porch light, we finally quit turning it on because there'd be so many insects. You couldn't even walk out of the house without just being pelted by insects everywhere. And in fact, if you went to a ball game at night, a baseball game or whatever, or a football game, and you see all these lights, there were so many insects around the lights, it's almost like you were worried that if they chose to turn on you, you'd be gone. You know, it was a fearful thing to see how many insects were flying around. But they're drawn to the light. We are drawn to the light. People are drawn to the light. You see, I think the problem with most people not coming to know Jesus Christ is they don't see the light where it should be shining in us. They don't see the light. We have to be the light bearers. We have to be the people who go in every place and every opportunity that God gives us and shine His light. And so Jesus is making this picture for us as He does when He uses parables, and He's letting us understand that the light is so incredibly important. Well, so who is the provision of light? Well, when we accept Jesus, He places His light within us by the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that we ought to be able to turn on and off, but it seems like many times we do. Should He be shining in our life all the time? Absolutely. But sometimes we selfishly don't want to do that. And so we put the light under the bed. We put it under a basket. We have to be allowing the light of Christ to be showing through us. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking to the people there listening, and He said this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people put a light or a lamp, or neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who's in heaven." You see, Jesus is the provider of light. He is the one who gives us the light of God in our lives. And we have a choice. Will we allow that light to shine, or are we going to put it under something and hide it? The power of light. Look at verse 22. "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." See, what light does is it reveals things. I don't do this very often, but every once in a while when I can't see something at night, instead of trying to find a flashlight, that's the hardest thing for me, is find the flashlight. How do you find a flashlight when it's dark? Right? So what I do is I pull out my trusty phone. You know what I'm talking about. And on my phone, if I do this correctly, I now have a flashlight. Right? I like this phone. I like having the opportunity to have that. Oh, I better turn that off or it'll go dead before I get out of here. So anyway, let me turn the light off, okay? I'm going to stick it back in my pocket, and here I am hiding my light. But the fact is that it brings illumination that I can see now where I couldn't see before. This is why many people don't want to hear or respond to the gospel, because they don't want their hidden things to be brought out into the light. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
I think there's a lot of times that people just don't want to hear. If I don't hear about it, then I don't have to respond to it. Or if I don't want to allow something into my life, so I just gotta like turn away or hide or say, oh no, I'm busy, maybe some other time or whatever. But the fact is that the light is there to reveal what's in the darkness. It's only when our sin is revealed that we can repent and accept forgiveness. You see, a lot of times people just put off, acting like it's not a big deal, acting like they don't really want to even face it, acting like it's not that all that important. But the fact is that everything that we do and choose to do as sin is totally against the heart of God. God wants us to see sin for what it really is. I don't think you can confess your sin and repent of your sin until you really realize what sin is. Sin is absolutely enmity between us and God. It is our choice, our selfish choices that we choose over Him. By the way, no one will get away with their sin. Either it will be paid for by the Savior or paid for in eternity, separated from Him forever. Your sin will be paid for. The good news is Romans 5:8 tells us God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He paid for our sins on the cross. Why would we then take the light and hide it? Why would we then accept the light into our life, but then compartmentalize Him and only allow Him out at certain periods of time in our life? The light is there to reveal. What is the result of the light? Well, it causes us to come clean, or it should. Because when you shine light on something, it reveals everything. I may have told you this before. I don't know if I have or not. But when I was a sophomore in college, between my freshman and sophomore year, I worked for an oil company out in East Texas, trying to make enough money to go back to school. And when I went to Baylor University, it was very expensive. Now it's very cheap compared to what they're charging now. But anyway, I went to work for this oil company in East Texas, and I'd never been to Longview, Texas. I didn't know much about it. When I got there, I looked in the paper to try to find a place to stay. And I saw this little advertisement for a garage apartment, an apartment above somebody's garage. And it seemed like it was affordable. And so I went over and they showed me the apartment. You go up the stairs, open it up. It was a little studio. It was basically a bed here, a small little kitchen here, and a bathroom there. It's really all I needed to live by myself for the summer. So, you know, I said, okay, and I signed the little 3-month contracts with them and paid my first month's rent. And so I left and I went into town went downtown and got some stuff for my apartment and kind of fixed it up a little bit, got some groceries, put them in the fridge and all that kind of stuff. So then I went over to play some basketball at the local college there with some guys I'd met I was going to be working with, and we played basketball. Well, when I got back to the apartment, it was dark, and so I unlocked the door and walked into the apartment, and I flipped the light on, and I saw, and I went, what is that? The place was infested with roaches everywhere. I mean, there were roaches everywhere, And I was going like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I can sleep in here tonight with all these roaches everywhere. You know, and I thought, well, I'll have to leave the light on at least, you know, because they don't like to be out in the light. They like to hide in the darkness of the night. And so I left the light on. I drove back down to Walmart. I got a bunch of roach killing stuff and put it everywhere in there. But it's just like our things that we don't want people to see or know about. We try to hide those things. We try to keep them away from God. We try to show, act like we know that it's not there, but it is. The result of the light, though, is it causes us to come clean. 1 John 1:9, if we allow the light to truly shine on us, it'll make us want to do something. It made me want to do something when I saw all those roaches. I couldn't kill them all with my foot, so I had to go get stuff to pour around the edges and all that kind of stuff. 1 John 1:9 says, if we will confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Folks, every word in that one verse has such great significance for us. If we'll just confess our sins. And if we'll repent of them, God will do His part, which He certainly does. Did you see the last five words in that verse, by the way? The last five words are, purify us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. That's what God does. The light shines on us so that we can see what we need to do. It's a revelation, and the result is we can either confess our sin to Him and repent, or we can act like it doesn't happen and try to continue to cover it up and act like, you know, it's not that big a deal, and oh, you know, there's a lot worse sinners in the world than me. You know, there may be worse sinners in the world than you, but it doesn't really matter because sin is sin. One sin or a billion sins, all of them are wrong. The power of the light is to bring revelation, and the result is for us to then come clean with God. Now I want you to see the privilege of having the light shine on you. Look at verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and then even more. So be careful what you listen to. You know, folks, there's a lot of voices competing for our attention in this world today, aren't there? Man, there are so many voices telling you what you ought to think, what you ought to believe, what you know, how you ought to live, how you ought to feel about how somebody else is doing something and you don't like it. I mean, there are so many people trying to tell you what you ought to believe. You just need to be careful what you listen to. There's so many voices competing for our attention. This world is being constantly bombarded with lies. Folks, just because you hear something, in fact, mainly because you hear something on the TV, doesn't make it truth. Right? Amen? I mean, just because somebody with a few extra letters after his name says this is the way things are, doesn't mean that's always the way things are. In fact, many times, they are so false, it's unbelievable. Why? Because guess who's in charge of the airways of this world? The evil one. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but he hates you. He hates you. He hates me. He hates every person. There's never been a more hateful being than Satan himself. He hates God. He hates everything about God. If you're trying to follow God, he hates you as well. And this world is constantly being bombarded with his lies. How can we know then what to believe? Well, God's Word tells us. God's Word is always there to tell us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, If we will walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, will purify us from all of our sins. Do you understand what He's saying there? I don't have to wonder what I need to listen to or believe. I just need to walk in the light. If I am existing and living and breathing and fellowshipping with the Lord, I'm walking in the light. And He will show me the things I ought to see and tell me the things I ought to hear. I will be abiding in Him and He in me. The purification of the mind and soul happens through the light of God. If you want to know what's really right, talk to the Lord about it. Read His Word. Listen to what He's already said. His Word will shine its light upon every situation, period. If you don't know what to do, the light is there. So we need to be careful what we're listening to. There are so many voices and so many people trying to tell you what you ought to believe. Listen, folks, you just need to listen to the light. Be reminded to let the light shine. You see, sometimes we know what God says and we know what we ought to do, but we keep it to ourselves. That's probably the most tragic thing a person who knows Jesus Christ can do. It's like, I got the best thing ever, but I don't tell anybody about it. I keep it to myself. That's called selfishness, right? Which is total opposite of what God has done for you. What if He was selfish? What if He said, well, I could save you, but I'm not going to. But God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How can we keep what is good to ourselves? A couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, in our Sunday school lesson, we went through this period of time during the north and the south part of Israel as they were struggling to follow God. And in 2 Kings, it tells us about some lepers. And I want to read this to you because I want you to see something it says here. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 5 through 9. These lepers got up at dusk and they went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned all their tents and all their horses and all their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. And the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. And they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and also hid them. And then they said to each other, look at this. What we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Isn't that an amazing picture of what it's like for us as Christians to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the light of the world? And yet, we want to hide it. We want to take what we want, as much as we want, but we're not willing to share it. We're not willing to give it out. What we are doing many times is not right. Many years ago, a pastor came and spoke at our church as I was a teenager. And at that point, there were very little kinds of treatments for lots of cancers. Now, there's more chemo now and there's more things that are going on, but even still, nobody really has a real feasible, financially able cure to cancer. But what if you found it? What if you knew what it was? You have the cure for cancer. I mean, you've done your research. You've done all kinds of experiments. You've had all the backing that you needed from financial institutions. And you found the cure for all cancers. And then you decided to keep it to yourself. What would the world think of you? What do you think they would call you? What do you think they would think of you if you said, I have the cure of cancer, but I'm not going to share it with anyone? What do you think would happen? Everybody would hate you. Everybody would despise you. Every person that had a person in their family that had a kind of cancer would say, oh, please, can you not share this with us? Well, folks, every person in this world is affected by a cancer named sin. And we have the cure. We know what it takes. And yet we don't share it. We need to be reminded to let the light shine. We need to be comforted by His Word as well. What has been hidden is to be disclosed. The gospel. What for many years, he's talking about for many years, the way to the Lord was through the animal sacrifice as a picture of what would come on the day that the Messiah would give His life for the world. It was always a picture looking forward. And every person that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 was looking forward to the day of Jesus Christ and His redemption. But what had been hidden, people didn't really understand how the gospel was going to work, now was needing to be disclosed. And Jesus is saying to anyone who would listen, we need to be sharing the light of Christ with others. We must be giving it away. If we don't, it's going to be wasted. Folks, it's not wasted when we give it away, by the way. The way it's not wasted is give it away. Do you know someone that needs to know Jesus? I think we all do. Have you been praying that God will give you an opportunity to shine the light of Christ upon them? You see, everybody needs to know that God loves them, that He paid the price for their sin, that He wants to give them eternal life with Him forever. Then lastly, in verse 25, we see the pronouncement of light. Look at what it says in verse 25. It says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. You see, don't just hear the Word of God. Folks, I don't know. I probably should have sat down and done the numbers on this. But at my age, and I'm not going to mention what it is, but at my age, I've probably heard thousands of sermons in my life. More than that. Thousands of sermons in my life. You probably have too if you grew up in church or whatever. And I've heard thousands of Sunday school lessons. And I've heard thousands of other messages that I listen to online or whatever. I've heard so many messages and Bible studies on the Word. But if I heard all of those things and had all that knowledge in my mind, but I didn't share it with anybody, what good would that be? You see, if you've been to church very long, you've probably heard hundreds of sermons at least and Sunday school lessons. You've read His Word. Maybe you've studied it. We've been given so much of God. I mean, we have His Word right here. There are places in this world that they're never, ever going to get that. So how can we hear the Word, study the Word, listen to the Word, but not share the Word? Jesus is saying, listen, if you have all of these things and you don't share it, even those things will be taken away from you. And folks, that's just a scary thought, because this nation was built upon the Word of God. Do you think it's still acting like it's built on the Word of God? And the more and more and more that we don't share, I mean, we used to be the country that sent missionaries out to the whole world. Now the whole world is sending missionaries to us. Even what you have will be taken away. The more we share His Word, the more we will learn about His Word. If God calls you to teach, won't you prepare to do that? Of course you would. You've probably heard the statement, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Right? I can tell you, I took algebra, calculus, trigonometry, and geometry. I took all of those things. I even took some advanced calculus in college. I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. I took organic chemistry. I mean, all these things that you had to have all of these numbers, figures, and all these kinds of things. And, you know, if somebody came up to me and put one of those problems in front of me right now, I'd go, I don't have a clue. I did then, and I studied them hard, and I passed my test, and I did okay. But, man, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. See, the bottom line is this, folks. We must share the gospel and let His light shine through us. I love this statement I read this last week. It says, it may cost us everything to give the light to others, but we must be willing to pay that price. We must never be guilty of hoarding the light or hiding the light or hindering the light. We must let our light shine for the glory of God. Folks, all of these things that we see in this very short passage that is so full of truth, everything that we see here is just a reminder to us that we have a great light that God has given us. What are we going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? You can either say, well, I'll think about that. More than likely what will happen is 2 hours from now you're not even thinking about it. I know how it is. I'm a person too. We'll either do something with this or we won't. That's bottom line. What are you going to do with it? I leave it up to you. Because it's between you and God. It's between me and God as well. Whatever you do with it will be incredibly, eternally important in somebody's life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to You this day and I thank You again for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You are the light of the world. You are the Word of God. You speak to us through Your Word. You shine Your light on us in Your Word. And we have an opportunity to see what we need to see. We don't have to walk around like people who have no light, running into walls and stepping into holes, and how tragic it would be not to be able to see. And yet, Lord, You've given us Your light. Father, I just pray that we'll realize that You'll break our hearts. Because we have the cure, but we're not willing to share it. Lord, I thank You for the man who owned a hardware shop in Knox City, Texas, who was willing to also be a Sunday school teacher for a group of young boys. And he shared with me the gospel. He didn't have to. But he came, sat down with me, and shared with me the gospel. I can't even remember his last name. But I know you know him. And I pray, Father, that all of us will be like that. We will care enough about other people that we'll let your light shine. We won't hide it. We won't act like we have it, but don't want to give it away. We will share it. Basically, that's our commission, Lord, is to go and to tell, to let people know how much you love them. And I pray, Father, we will do that. Not just talk about it, not just say, yeah, it's something we ought to do, but we will do it. We will do it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.